Yeah.
Hey.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good, good, good. We got so many people in here.
Massive lunch.
Thank you.
That's
what it is.
Exactly.
Like early when you were doing your photos.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, that too.
So that was quite a cast you had to wrangle. They're all pretty powerful people, as we just discovered talking to them. Is that a good thing for a director?
It's a great thing to have a cast like that. I was very, very honored and fortunate. And it's less about any specific personalities. and more about, I remember I showed the movie to a filmmaker friend of mine at one point, and he was watching a scene, and he turned to me afterwards. He was like, I just kept thinking, like, how many hair and makeup people and how many props people. It was like, you know, there's like 20 people in the scene or something. And like, I come from movies that have like 3 people in the scene. And so you just forget like how much of an ordeal it is to just, you know, have to facilitate that many people. But for me, the bigger thing is, like, when I make a movie, and I think the way that I get my performances is, like, I like to build a family. You know, like, going off to make a movie is a lot like going off to war, and so, like, you know, you find your people that you, that just become your brothers in arms and your compatriots, and so, you know, you find those people, and then you bind together, and you move forward.
Can you talk about why Tom Hiddleston? What did you see in him?
Have you seen how handsome he is?
I know. We did in person.
Tom is amazing because he is one of the most committed actors that I have ever known or worked with. He genuinely wants things to be great. And like myself, who is a perfectionist, you know, Tom and I, on set, we'd always joke around with each other and say, when we were debating, like, okay, should we move on? Or he'd want to do another take, or I'd want to do another take. And we'd always... If I wanted to do another take, and he's like, no, we got it. And I would just look at him and say, it's only forever. Or if he really wanted to do something else, and I was like, no, if we got to move, he'd say, it's only forever. And he's the type of guy who, he just genuinely cares so much, not just about that movie in general, but the medium and the art as a whole. He's like one of those few guys who like isn't in it. Like he has that burning flame in him that just like forces him to do this, and he cares about the history of it. Yeah. There aren't a lot of actors who you meet who like care about like the history of this art form and like film history and cinematic history, and he's just one of those guys who just he cares so much that you can't, you know, it's rare to find people like that.
At what point did you say to yourself, "I can do this"? Having come from smaller projects you've done, and now you're tackling on a monster movie, genre film that most people are aware of, big talent, you know, and the scope of being in Vietnam, you know, at what point do you say, okay, I can do this without feeling nervous?
Day I was born. never. From talking to a lot of other directors who had gone through this before, because there are times on set that you're like, I'm fucking this up, oh my god, I'm fucking this up. And from talking to, I really think, like, creatively in general, if you are doing a project that you care about, and you're sitting there on set or at the project, and you're like, I'm doing a great job, I'm killing it, I'm like, I'm so great at this right now, chances are you're not doing a good job, and chances are you don't care enough. Like, from talking to a lot of other directors who had gone through this before, Laura Miller and... guys like Coogler and guys like that, like who are
Francis Coppola.
I wish you'd pick up my calls. Just from talking to those guys who had done it, they all kind of reiterated the same thing where they were like, yeah, when we were making that movie, we thought we didn't think we could do it. You know, like I think if you have a good soul, if you like are emotionally sensitive and in tune with yourself, most creative people are ultimately like pretty self-deprecating. And so I wanted to do it, and I knew I would make it through. But like I think that sense of fear, that sense of shit, like the stakes are so high. What if I fuck this up? I think if you don't have that, chances are it's not going to be memorable. Like I think you need that little bit to drive you and to push you and to like and to always make you. Be working that much harder to better yourself and to make sure the scene's as good or subversive or as memorable as it could be.
Now, the scene with all the helicopters, it looks really cool, and the two actors before said that they actually learned how to fly.
Yeah.
So how many did you have on set? Or how many actually were?
We had three flying helicopters, and it was important for me to have them go up in those helicopters and see what they were like. You know, it's important for me for, like, you know, I did a lot of improv with the actors, and I like to do as many things that are sort of immersive as possible, because it, to me, that just goes back to what I said about, like, building a family, you know, where I want them all to have a camaraderie where we're all in the trenches together. And so a lot of those pilots we took up in the air, and, you know, the guys who had to sit up, like, on the side of the helicopter, just strapped in with that one belt, like, no movie safety harness, just that one belt. You know, and then the other actors, like, in the co-pilot seat, like, you know, you take that stick of the helicopter and, like, you do this, like, that, like, it, those things are no joke. But it was just important for them to sort of understand the reality of what they were getting into as much as possible. Plus, that's, like, one of the few perks on the job where you're like, I flew a helicopter today.
The studio was okay with that.
There was definitely one time where I disappeared, like, in between a take and got in the helicopter and didn't tell anyone that I was going, and I remember looking back and seeing some people get yelled at, just because I was like, bye, I'm going in this helicopter right now, flying around Hawaii, and then you're up there and you're like, okay, I'm going to crash this helicopter into Walmart on accident. But with the actors, they, you know, the pilots up there are the best pilots in the world, and they knew that was a part of what I wanted to put them through, so they were, you know, they were supportive of that.
Can you talk a little bit about the creation of the look of Calm?
Sure. When I came on, the very first thing that I wanted to do was not have him be a quadruped, not have him be a sort of like giant 25-foot silverback gorilla. I wanted him to be a movie monster, a classic movie monster. And I wanted him to be a biped. I wanted him to walk upright. I wanted him to have the posture. Even when you put him upright, it's really easy for the animators and people to assume that he's going to have very simian motions. And I had to beat those ideas out of a lot of people because I wanted him to walk with the nobility of a god and the, like, a regal nature, but then to lumber with, like, a sadness. And I wanted him to have sort of these morose qualities. And so, you know, I wanted it to be a throwback to the 1933 film. But then, you know, in terms of design and the sort of cartoonish designs where it doesn't just look like an ape or a monkey, but, you know, the Willis O'Brien, you know, design, the exaggerated brow and the very big eyes and the exaggerated features, like, I wanted him to be a movie monster and a god, and I wanted him to move fast. I wanted him, like, he moves more in line with, like, something from a Japanese anime at times than something that should be of that size. And I just, you know, for me, the guiding light was always, like, I just want a third grader to be able to, like, simply doodle this Kong and to be able to say, that's the Kong from that version. But, you know, I wanted to pay sort of honor to what came before it, but to go back. And, like, you know, this is the first Kong where, you know, his fur is brown, and that sort of riffs off of, you know, the puppet in the 33 film, like, the actual stills of it, like, that fur was brown, you just don't know, because it was a black and white film, and there was a gorgeous poster that was done from back in the day, with sort of brown fur on it, and I wanted to find, like, something iconic, and something fearsome, and something godlike. You know, when you really get into his eyes, like, you feel the color in them, but, like, I wanted his eyes to be black most of the time, like a diseased god, until he sort of is, like, slowly awakened.
I have to ask, the bitch pleases So Sam, he got a big laugh in the audience last night. Was that Sam Edmund, or was that Esco?
That was, Sam did not say, because we're a PG-13 movie, so people are sometimes, like, afraid of swearing. And so that was an improvised moment, but he wasn't saying bitch please. He was saying, like, woman please or something like that. And then I went up to Sam and was just like, say bitch please. Like, just go for it. And, like, never thought it was going to make it in the movie because it's such an insane thing to say, even though it's not anachronistic at all. Bitch Please stems from pimp slang from the 70s.
Right.
But to me, those are the exact type of moments that I love in movies like this, where it's like, in a normal scene in a movie like that, you would not be getting a line like that to laugh at. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But I love the idea of subverting, like, the moment of, like, what should be, like, Bree's, like, emotional, oh, everybody listen to this thoughtful thing I'm going to say at this point in the movie. Bitch, please. You know, like, and so that was improvised, and that was sort of a fusion of Sam, Sam improvising something, and then me asking him to say, bitch, please.
Guys, that's all the time we have.
If there's a follow-up, would you do it?
I would do a prequel of John C. Reilly.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Take care. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.